you by, and when you look around, you're not where you thought you'd be. You've been standing still while everyone else is living the life that you want to live, but you get what you get.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to What Would Kay Say? I am your host, Kay Edwards. How are all of God's blessed, highly favored, fearfully, and wonderfully made people doing today? I'm going to tell you how we're doing. We are overwhelmingly satisfied, abundantly full, and deeply appreciative. In Jesus' name, right? Amen, amen, and amen. And I am so honored that you have decided to spend this time with me today. I know that you're going to get a word from the Lord. And for all of you who that might have missed any of my previous shows, you can find them on Radio Free Brooklyn on my show page, What Would Kay Say? My archives are there. If you go to my Instagram page, WWK Say Today. If you go into my bio, you'll see the link tree. You could click on there. You can follow it there. I'm on Apple. I think it's Apple. Yeah, it's called Apple now. Yes. Yeah, so you can catch me there. And I'm on all other podcast platforms. So let's dive right into today's message, because I have a lot to say to you. As always, I always have a lot to say, right? So for the past few weeks, we've been talking about being Imago Dei, right? Which is the image of God, and what that actually means. So we've been doing a deep dive into fully trying to understand who God is, so that we can then understand who we are, right? Because if you think about it, we're learning more and more about God every day, because we're learning more and more about ourselves every day, right? As he's making us and molding us. And you know how they say we're on that potter's wheel. He's reshaping us. So when he brings certain characteristics out of our personality and he's changing us, that's us learning more about who he is. Because the more he goes inside and fixes everything that's not correct, the more he's forming us to be more like him. Right? And he does this for us. He does this for the world because we have to interact with each other, the world meaning people here. And mostly, he's doing it for himself because he wants to see us as he created us from the beginning. Because God stated in the beginning, let us, right? Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, when he said that, he was speaking to the other part, to the Trinity, the Word, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So today, we're going to explore the notion of the rest of the let us, right? We already spoke about the God part. So now we're going to look into the Jesus part. So today's topic is the purpose of Jesus. So in our quest to empower our intellect of the knowledge of God, we must also look to find out more about his son, Jesus Christ. After all, isn't it because of Jesus that we're able to look at ourselves as being made in the image of God? Which means we are, in fact, made in the image of him, the Word, which was Jesus. So, we concluded that above everything else that we know God to be, merciful, faithful, provider, healer, protector, above all those things, God is love. And with his ultimate expression of love, he gave us his son. So sending his son to dwell here on earth with us, because through Christ, God offered the gift of eternal life to all who believes in him. And by doing this, he demonstrated his desire for us to experience an abundant life, both now and eternally. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but because of the gift of Jesus Christ, God gave us eternal life. So when we think about the question, who is Jesus and what was his purpose? We can come up with several answers as to who he is and why he came. I'm going to list a few here for you. Number one, salvation. Most importantly, Jesus came for our salvation. Jesus came to offer all of humanity salvation. He came to reconcile all of us back to God. Because you know, we had fallen because of the sin in the garden with Adam and Eve. So we were separated from God. There was that gap between us. God still communicated with his people, but we weren't there like a oneness with him as we were before the sin. So Jesus came as a sacrifice, because God had taught the people how to give sacrifices. You know, we talked about the turtle doves, the pigeons, the anything that they had to give to sacrifice to atone for the sins that they had. But God said, I'm going to just have one sacrifice. Who's going to be the ultimate sacrifice for everyone? Which was Jesus. And he came, sacrificed himself so that we can be forgiven for all of our sins. Okay, so that was the first reason why he came. Another reason why he came was the revelation of God's love. Jesus came to let us know just how much God really, really, really loves mankind. Even though I know a lot of people will say, well, if he loved mankind, why did he destroy the world with the flood? That's because those people were ornery. But he said he would never do that again. Because at that point when God destroyed the world with the flood, he was heartbroken. If God could have a broken heart, he was truly displeased with the way man had turned out. I mean, think about it. We're not the best people walking on 2 feet. And I'm just saying that honestly, taking us in our natural form without Christ, we're not the best people. And we just kept getting worse and worse and worse to the point where he was like, enough of this. It displeased him that he even created us. Now, how closer to can you get to being disappointed that's like you being disappointed in your own child, that you would say, I wish I never gave birth to them. Who says that? What mother really says that? You know, when you look at your child and you're so disappointed, I wish I would have never gave birth to that child. Who says that? So for God to say that and then go about flooding the world, he had to be really, really, really hurt. But Jesus came to show us that at the root of it all, it was really that he loved us so much that he couldn't believe that it had turned out the way that he did, right? Even though he knew we would, but it still was like, even though you know something's going to happen, you're still, oh, I can't believe it. How many things have happened? You knew it was going to happen, but you still said to yourself, I can't believe it. Because you just were, it had taken you aback, you know? So Jesus came for our salvation and Jesus came to show us God's love. He also came to be an example to us, to be an example to teach us how to please God. He taught us how to be compassionate. He taught us how to forgive, which is a lesson that so many of us just keep repeating and repeat. I don't know why it's so hard for us to forgive. It's so hard for us to do that as humans. But Christ came to teach us how to have compassion, how to forgive, how to be humble, right? And to live a life that's pleasing to God. He also came to fulfill prophecy. He came to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament because they had been speaking of him from the beginning. They knew that he was coming, right? Because he was the Messiah. And throughout his life, he showed them. He even went back to the synagogues and was reading in the scriptures and was showing them, this is me, this is me. That's what got them all riled up for them to say, how dare he come up in here and say, that's him on those scrolls. But he was letting them know, no, that's me. I was there. I did that. Mm-hmm. So he came to fulfill prophecy. And then he came to give us victory over sin and death. Because after they had sinned in the garden, when they died, they died. There was no connection back to the Lord. But Christ coming and him dying, because he took all the sin from us, he was our sacrificial lamb, we now have eternal life, that when we die, we can go back to the Father. We can go back to our Maker where we had been separated from before. But he also came for this reason. And John 10:10 tells us that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The they being us, and blessed is the reading of the word. So today we're going to look at the aspect of Jesus coming to give us an abundant life. And now when I say abundant life, I'm not talking about money. And that's the first thing that we always think about. And it's natural for us to, for our minds to go there because, hey, we live in a society that if you don't have money, you can't get anything. It's just that simple. It's just that plain. We need money in order to survive. You have to have money to pay for anything you want. The only thing you don't have to pay for is the air that you breathe. And that's because of God's good grace. But trust me, if there's somebody out there that could manufacture air, I mean, we know we have oxygen tanks, but I'm talking about air that we breathe. They would put a price tag on it because everyone's about making money. I hope it doesn't get to that, but I wouldn't be surprised when it does. But going back to abundant life, it's not always about money. Living an abundant life is about seeing life as it was intended to be, right? It's about seeing life the way God had envisioned it in heaven when he created us here. Living an abundant life, think of it, it's like a diamond. And you know, a diamond has many facets, right? So when the light shines through the diamond, it has a different appearance. And it'll look differently when I look at it as when you look at it. So because when you move the diamond and the way the light shines through it, you see the different colors, living an abundant life is just like that. Depending on who's looking at it, it has a different appearance. And as it should, because when God created us, he didn't create us to all be the same. So why would he create us that we would all think that having an abundant life meant the same thing? So we're going to explore some of the options available to having an abundant life. We could have an abundant life in the form of spiritual satisfaction, right? Having that close, deep, discerning relationship with God, feeling all his love, his peace, and feeling his presence every day. We could have that spiritual satisfaction. And to some, that's an abundant life. If I could just bask in his presence all day long while I'm fulfilling his purpose that he gave me, then that's an abundant life. And we have people who do that. You remember when we used to have, I'm sure they still have monks in Tibet, right? And I'm not saying that they're Christian, they do whatever they do, but that sort of lifestyle, when we used to have, when the Catholics had the nunneries, right? When women used to just go, virgins would go into these nunneries and just dedicate their life to the Lord. That's the type of spiritual satisfaction. When I think of spiritual satisfaction, that's what I think about when somebody just totally dedicating. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you have to do. And if you're not a virgin and you don't do that, you don't. No, that's not what I'm saying. I was just giving that as a stark example of having that always want to be in communication with God. And you could have that every day. Yes. But to live your life totally, just everything is God, right? For some, it could be an emotional well-being, meaning you experience God's joy and his comfort and you're content in all circumstances like Paul, right? Paul said he's learned to be content in all circumstances regardless because you're trusting in the sovereignty of God and you're trusting in his promises. So regardless of what's happening in your life, you're happy. You're content because you know that God is in control of everything. Another part of having an abundant life is clarity of mind, right? Just peace of mind, having a positive mindset, experiencing gratitude, feeling full of hope and faith all the time, always looking to the Holy Spirit for wisdom and understanding, right? For anything that, you know, I'm so confused, you know, let me just tap into the Holy Spirit. I need some clarity, Lord. Give me wisdom. Lord, grant me wisdom. He said in his word, you ask him for wisdom is crying out in the streets. Just ask for it. He'll give it to you. Having an abundant life can also be taking care of our bodies. Because remember, our body is our temple, right? This is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So you would want to keep a healthy body. You would want to keep your body clean so that you can glorify God when you're doing everything that he has for you to do. Because let's face it, if your body is broke down and you're sick, you don't feel like doing anything. Yeah, you'll pray, but you'll be praying from your bed, lying down. Oh, Lord, I wish I could get up. That's not the type of prayers he wants to hear. Not that he doesn't want to hear them. He'll hear any prayer, but you don't want to have to keep giving him that prayer because you want to be able to move around. You want to be able to get up and function. And there's a lot of people that put a lot of emphasis into having a physically healthy body, right? So all those things are examples of having and living an abundant life. And I'm not saying that you have to have one or the other. When you really think about it, living an abundant life is actually a combination of all of those things. When you're really living the life the way God envisioned you to live your life, you will be taking care of your physical body, making sure you exercise, making sure that you're eating the right foods, right? And at the right times and not overindulging in anything. You will keep your mind clear because God said that he would keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So for clarity, so you're not confused, so you're not wondering what comes next, you'll keep a positive mindset, always walking in faith, having hope that yes, even though circumstances aren't working the way I want them to, right? Keeping that emotional well-being as well. Even though things might not have worked out the way I thought they would have, I'm still going to be able to work through this situation because I know the God that I serve. I know where the power that I have from within comes from. Because when I get on my knees and I pray that spiritual satisfaction, when I talk to my Heavenly Father, I can feel his love and his grace. And I feel him with me all of the time because he said to me, he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So when you're actually living an abundant life, it's a combination of all of those things, not just one. And it comes in different forms, just like that diamond, for different individuals. Some of us may have more of an emphasis on some parts than the other, but to have a complete abundant life, you are incorporating all of those aspects, keeping them balanced, leaning on the ones that you need more often when a situation arises in order to keep you steady, to keep you on course, on your journey, so that you can fulfill everything that God had purposed for you in your life. That's what living an abundant life is about. That's exactly what's living an abundant life. Not all the money you have in the bank. Don't get me wrong. Cha-ching in the bank is always a plus. You know, and I always laugh when I used to hear people say, oh, money can't buy you happiness. I want to know exactly where that terminology came from. Who originated that statement? Money can't bring you can't buy you happiness. I beg to differ. And the reason why I beg to differ is because Christ said that money answereth all things. So now if Christ said it, hello, and we believe everything that the Bible says. So if Jesus said that money answereth all things, why would I think that money couldn't buy me happiness? Even he knew that having money, you would have a state of being able to not have to worry about where certain things were coming from. And that's what money does if used the right way. You're not supposed to take it to, you know, hold somebody else back or, you know, just overindulge. But like we said, everything in moderation. But if you have money, then you're not worrying about where things are coming from. And also, when you get money, like we know the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord, and he gave us the ability to create wealth. So if he gave us the ability to create wealth, then obviously that meant that for everything that he has us to do, there's a payment involved. And if the payment is wealth, could be money, it could be good health, it could be just blessing of protection, just all those things. See, all those things still come together in that abundant life living, right? Because that's why Jesus came. He came to complete the task that we failed at, which was being righteous and honoring to God. So his coming made everything that I just talked about possible for us yesterday, today, and forever. And with that, I say it's time for us to take a music break. You've been listening to What Would Kay Say here on Radio Free Brooklyn, what Brooklyn sounds like.
O Son of David, have mercy on me. My soul is broken and my eyes can't see. Can you hear me calling, calling out your name? O Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. O Son of David, have mercy on me. The wolves are coming and I can hardly breathe. My heart is heavy, I can't get no sleep. O Son of David, have mercy on me. On me.
I believe you've overcome. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Welcome back. You've been listening to What Would Kay Say here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Now, that musical selection was powerful, if I must say so myself. We started out, of course, the top of the hour with Grace Making Changes. Then we heard from Ryan Ellis and Brandon Lake, Son of David, followed by Upper Room, Smith, Surrounded, Fight My Battles. And then the last song we heard from was from Heather Headley. It was a melody of songs. I Need Thee, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, and She'd Rather Have Jesus. That was a good selection of songs. Like I said, if I must say so. I hope you enjoyed it, because I definitely enjoyed it. And I like when the Spirit gives me songs to play for the show. And sometimes it's just random songs, and I'm like, how is that all going to fit? But I love it when the Spirit gives me songs to play. And after I hear it, like, I listen to them before I come into the studio. But then when I hear them in the studio after I've done the conversation, after we've had our talk, I'm like, yeah, those songs really did hit the spot. Well, they hit the spot for me, and I just hope they hit the spot for you as well. So now it's time for the part of the show that I call Op-Ed. And in Op-Ed, I want to continue talking about what we were talking about earlier with this abundant life, this living an abundant life, right? What Jesus said that he came to give us, and how we're defining abundant life as the combination of, you know, having your spiritual life in order. And when I say in order, I don't mean that ritualistically in order. For some of you, that may work. For some of you, you may want to pray a certain time every day. There's nothing wrong with that. For others, you might only pray once a day. You might only pray once a week. If that works for you, that's fine too. I'm talking about, when I say in order, I'm saying knowing that you have one, having it as a priority in your life, keeping balance with your emotional well-being, how everyone is stressing mental health now. They're stressing mental health now. And is it because we've so long kept sweeping things under the rug that everyone's mental health now is out of balance? Because for years we have swept things under the rug. I'll get back to it. I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. There's only but so much room in a box when you keep piling things up, or not even a box. Think of that. Think of that one drawer that everyone has in their home. And that drawer is, I know you're going to know it when I say it, the drawer that you just place everything in that. Oh, I'll get to that. Oh, I found a paper clip. Let me throw it in here. That one drawer that when you open, it has everything in it. Everything. It could be from a spoon, a knife, a flashlight, a battery, an old piece of gum, a rubber band, a thumbtack. That drawer has a notepad, an old letter. That drawer has everything in it, because that's the drawer that you stuff everything in. So if you think about your mental health, if you think about your spiritual life, if you think about everything that we talked about having an abundant life, knowing the peace and joy and being content in all instances, having your physical health, if all that looks like that drawer, yeah, it's no wonder that everybody's all over the place. Hand raised, me included. No wonder we're all over the place. When you open that drawer, you got to start cleaning it out. And that's what God does. That's what we allow God to do. And in this Lenten season, a time where most people are sacrificing things for God, you know, Lent is a period between from Christmas to Easter. That Lenten season comes in with preparing yourself for, you know, when Jesus did his ministry and when he went to the cross. But in that Lentil season, some of us practice Lent. You know, you give up certain things. But for those of us who don't follow Lent as strictly as some other parts of Christianity does, we could still take this time to reflect on our lives, right? Like that drawer that I was just talking about. We could still take that time for self-examination, right? Asking ourselves if we've been living the abundant life that God intended for us to live. And like I said, if you look at that drawer and everything's all over the place, maybe it's about time we started, I'm not saying dumping the whole drawer out, because when you dump that drawer out and figure I'm going to clean it out, you know what ends up happening? You end up piling everything right back in that drawer because after a while you're like, I don't know what to do with this. And that's what a lot of our lives consist of, parts like, I don't know what to do with this. So we keep sweeping it under the rug. And that's what distorts our mental health, right? For some of us. So when we think about cleaning that drawer, or allowing God to clean that drawer within us, he takes it a piece at a time. He doesn't just take the whole drawer and dump it upside down and figures, okay, let me scatter through this and see what I could do with it. No, he takes one piece at a time. He takes it as it's needed. Like, you only really go back to that drawer when you're looking for something. Like when you're like, oh, I need a pen, and you can't find a pen. That's the first place you run to the drawer. So, okay, now you're dealing with the pen in that drawer. But what if that drawer was the pen represented kindness, right? So you needed the pen at the moment. Maybe you needed at a certain moment to be kind. So you can deal with that. And God will take that and he will work with that within you to show you certain things that, okay, maybe I need to fix this a little bit more in you. So when we think of this season, Lent, or however you want to look at it, right coming up to Easter, let's think about how we're living our lives. Are we living the abundant life that Christ came to give us? Right? And it all begins with us walking in love, because remember, God is love. We got to love him. We got to love ourselves, and we have to love others. So when we think of walking in love, we have to demonstrate that love daily, right? And that just means in everything that we do. Our time, our money, our energy, everything must be done in a good spirit. And when it's done in a good spirit, as God puts a cheerful heart, then everything else works itself out, right? Because it's not going to work if we're doing things begrudgingly. Like, if you do things with an attitude, it's better not to do it. If you're going to have an attitude behind doing something, then don't do it. I'd rather you not say hello to me if you're going to say it with an attitude. I'd rather you walk right by. You know, maybe if you're in a bad mood, I'd rather you walk by than to say something nasty and then circle back around when you're feeling better. I'd rather that, because you saying something with an attitude, with, and sometimes you don't even realize that you're doing it because your mind is elsewhere. But in that self-reflection that I'm saying, taking the time and us also wanting to walk in the image of God, us being that representation to the world of who God is, we have to be more mindful when we're walking around, when we say things to people, how we might say it, how our face expression might look. And I'm guilty of that. My face says things before my mouth even opens. So, and that comes from what you're thinking. What you're thinking will show up on your face if you're one of those who wear your expressions or your thoughts on your face. So in order to control what your face is saying, you have to control what you're thinking. And that takes time too. And that's why if you're that walking image of God, everything has to be done. Just take your, to me, I find taking my time, just taking my time to listen, taking my time to just breathe and think about my response before I just give a response, because a lot of times we're ready to give a response before we even really hear what the situation is. So in this time that we have coming up next week is Palm Sunday, then is Easter. This whole time, let's just, and because we are learning about being the image of God, let's just take that time to reevaluate everything that we're doing with ourselves and our lives, how we're interacting with others, and see what comes of that, right? So that's what I have to say for op-ed. Because he did come to give us an abundant life, right? If we remember the reason why he came and what he came to give us, then we know what we need to do in order to receive it. That ends up it. My time is growing short. And of course, you know, we're still in our word of the month. Repent. Feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. Perfect word for this month, especially with us doing this self-evaluation, self-reflection. And I know it's hard for some of us to do that. But remember that drawer that I said that everyone has in their home? It's full of all bunches of stuff. And you only go in there when you're looking for something. Just think about your inside as being that drawer. So you need to start straightening it up a little bit. And our promise is going to come from John 10:10. Our promise. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with this because this is what we talked about today. Our promise is going to be John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. And with that, I say, everyone enjoy the rest of your week. Everyone make this the best day ever. Every day that you wake up, you should look to make it the best day ever. And it doesn't have to be something over the top. See, the world has us so conditioned that everything, in order for it to be the best day ever, it has to be something spectacular. It has to be fireworks. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fireworks girl to the end. I love a good fireworks. But every day can't be fireworks. And in reality, would you want every day to be fireworks? No, because they're loud. Everybody can see it. You don't want every day to be like that. But you can make every day the best day ever. And if that means for you having that second cup of tea or coffee as you're gazing out the window because you just love the scenery, which could be a tree, but you just love the way it makes you feel while you're drinking your beverage of choice, then do it. It might mean going for that early morning run. It might mean curling up on your favorite sitting, your chair or your couch or maybe in your bed or a chaise lounge with a nice comfy throw on you with your favorite book. Maybe a commentary about a Bible book, or maybe reading the scriptures, or maybe just reading a magazine, just reading a regular everyday magazine. You want to see what's the latest shoes coming out for the season. What's the color of the year? Who knows? If that makes you feel happy, do it. But make it the best day ever, because once this day is gone, you can't get it back. And that's one thing we lose sight of. Every day that we hear is a blessing. Live it like it's a blessing. Live that abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Because once it's gone, it's gone. So with that, I say, everybody, be blessed. Take care of one another. And until God brings us together again next week, of course, we're going to dance it out. Peace. Hey. Yeah.
Watch me. I want you to cover. I said cover.
Me. I can't explain this feeling so strong.